This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. It's a Monday morning. Wait a minute. It's not. It's a Gold Glove edition of the Two Birds on a Bat podcast, coming to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre or post game, patios is the place you should be. And if you're going to go to patios and you want Gold Glove treatment, hang out with Randy Green from InnovatedCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, Randy Green is the name you know and trust. He's got his construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team fired up and ready to take on any task you may have. And you can trust the man as he's a Gold Glove winner himself, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and man of his word. That's our Gold Glover, Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, on a show like this, if you're going to talk about Gold Gloves, you got to have some Gold Glovers on the air. I myself am not one. I do have another one, though, and he's been a great friend for quite some time. And I'm saying all this because Steve-O's sitting across me, but I'm going to go to the real Gold Glover, and that's Benji Moline on the M4byYachty.com hotline. What's up, Gold Glover?
What's going on, guys? What's going on? Hey, I heard Steve-O was a Gold Glove in high school.
Well, I was doing all that, and his chest was all pumped up. He was thinking, nah, my boy Chrome's going to introduce me as a Gold Glover. And I went right to the real Gold Glover. How do you like that?
Hey, well, here's the deal. I got paid to swing the bat. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that I was in there. I was that typical guy. If he can hit, we're going to find a place for him. No.
You're a little bit like my kid.
Yeah. Benji, in all seriousness, I was a pretty good ball player. I didn't learn how to field the ball the right way until Cromer and I started coaching together. And then I was taught by somebody else, not by Cromer, but one of the coaches here.
I could teach it.
You could teach it, but it's one of those things.
If you can't do, you teach. Yeah. That's how it goes, right?
I would have been pretty good had I known how to field a ground ball, but I could hit.
No, that's fine. I've seen you play, in a couple videos. You chase that fastball, dude. That's
yes.
That's all you do.
It's like deer season for me. It's fastball season, and I hunt it for sure.
He could have played for the Cardinals, right? He just couldn't handle the breaking pitch. Is that the deal?
Hey, I tell you what. I'll take Steve-O and my Cardinals team any day, man. He's a baller.
Oh, my Lord. What's he got? You coming over for steak or ribs or something? Because, man, there's a lot of love in the room.
He knows what's going on. The grill is about ready to be fired up here in about 2 hours because my beloved Dallas Cowboys are on prime time again.
Wah, wah, wah.
Monday Night Football. Do you not have that sound effect here?
I need to find it. Go ahead. I'll try to find it.
Oh, man. BMO, how fired up are you to watch your Cowboys play tonight?
Hey, I didn't even know that we're on today, to tell you the truth. But thanks for telling me. Now I have to be away from the TV on prime time, buddy. Thanks.
Oh, buddy. How'd the Pack do yesterday, by the way?
I don't know how they do it. I think they had a bye.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they played. They didn't show up.
Yeah, they didn't show up. They had a bye.
So speaking of which, let's move to the I know you're a little upset over the Pack loss, but how's your fantasy football team? Old Steve-O took it to old Mariani this week.
Hey, my football team is not very good, bro. Everybody on my team got hurt or underachieving. Jim Cromer scored 170 on me.
Sorry, bro.
Was this a grudge match here?
Sorry, bro.
Are you kidding me? 170.
Wow.
I tried to call the dogs off. They weren't taking my calls that day.
That's a big number there, Jimbo.
I didn't mean to do it.
That's a huge number.
I really didn't mean to do it. It just kind of happened.
No, you better take care of that. I'm telling you, man, there's some good things in this fantasy, man.
Yeah, I'm in trouble this week, too. I had too many guys on a bye, and I wound up playing the best team. You know, either me or Polo are the best team in the league, I think. And I play him this week, and all my guys are on a bye.
This is another one.
Bullshit touchdown from Lamar Jackson last night at the end of the game. You know, you can't pull your guy. I know you can now because they changed the rule, but that's stupid. It's just dumb.
This Polo is the luckiest guy around. I mean, he couldn't even spell football.
He's got Devin Singletary, and every publication I saw this week said to sit his ass.
Yeah.
And he gets a bunch of points. Whatever. Life goes on. Hey, this is a baseball show, brother.
Let's talk some gold gloves.
I know you want to talk fantasy football.
I live in a fantasy world.
Because you do live in a fantasy
world. And I'm a fantasy girl. Is that the song?
That is a song. That is a song.
Hey, but I'm happy, and I'm really upset about the gold glove. I thought the Young probably should have won one, even though we know that, you know, the range and stuff, you know. The real cool place or something, whatever. I think he should have won it by numbers. But also, Yadi should have won it. I mean, Wong finally, they gave it to him because he freaking won it last couple of years. They did wrong on him. They finally got it right. But, man, this gets me upset, dude. The way that MLB, I think it's the coaching that votes, you know. I mean, there's part of it. It's coaching, not all of it. But this is ridiculous, man. Like really, like really ridiculous. Do I have like 2 minutes?
You can rant all you want.
No, I'm just saying, man. Look, I'm gonna give you a few comparison to Real Muto and Yadi, right? Because that's what we're talking here. I mean, I think DeJong has a case too. I really thought that he would have won it for sure by numbers. So, if we go by games 130 to 111, Yadi got hurt. That's fine, no problem. The errors, 9 errors on Real Muto, okay? 9. Yadi had 1. The pass ball, dude, 8-4. Yadi had 4. Let's go to the stolen bases. They stole 49 bases on Real Muto. 49 bases. He caught 47, which he gave him 47%, which is outstanding. It's all-star percentage caught stealing, right? But they run more. 49 bases they stole. They stole 22 bases on Yadi, man. 22. He caught 8 for 27%, but that means they didn't run much. Only 30 overall. 92 attempts on that guy, on Real Muto. And then we go to the ERA, bro. This gets ridiculous here. I mean, obviously, Yadi and Real Muto didn't catch every single game. We know that. But where the team finished, 4.53 ERA on the Phillies. They finished 4th out of 5. 16 games behind the first place where Yadi and the Cardinals and the guys, obviously, it's not Yadi by himself. I hope you understand, but 380, bro. ERA 380. That's second in the National League and like 6th in the Major League. The whole team. 14 shutouts. I mean, we can keep going on, and this is getting ridiculous through the time. ERA, the Cardinals were second, bro.
Hey, Benji, I want to back up. How many? You said that Real Muto threw out 43 base runners, right? But
yeah.
How many tried to steal on him?
Well, if you put it 49, they stole the base.
Right. And threw out 43.
So that's 92.
Okay. What was Yadi's numbers in that?
30 total. They stole 22. and he caught eight because they barely run.
And when they do, it's all stopwatch on the pitcher. I mean, if that's what people always ask. Yeah, no, I agree. But I know what you're talking about. No, I see what you're saying.
30 overall to 92, bro.
Yeah.
92 attempts, you know, and Yadi got 30 attempts. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then bullpen ERA, we're sixth in the major league, bro. Sixth in the major league. Their bullpen is 16. 16. I mean, I told you guys, I always had something about the MLB. I don't know how they do things. I don't know how they pick these. I mean, I really do believe they did it. They didn't want Yadi to break Johnny Bench record or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is getting so ridiculous. It's crazy. You're going to give Bunghart, which is a good player, a gold glove over Yadi when Yadi had those numbers way over.
That one was atrocious. The guy didn't even play. I mean, how many games did he catch that year? That was ridiculous.
Well, let's go to Buster Posey. Buster played half a game to first, half a game a catcher. And he still won the gold glove.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just getting ridiculous, bro. I mean, MLB, for me, MLB right now is a joke. Let's go. I mean, let's stop this gold glove for a minute. And let's go back to the MVP of the World Series. I mean, seriously, I get it that Strasburg bailed for two games. And one of those games was really important. Two games. This freaking Juan Soto played seven games, bro.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous.
Raking.
I did.
Raking.
Yeah.
Raking for your team seven games. At least that they could have done is a co-MVP. Give it to Strasburg, but give it to Juan Soto, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, MLB right now, bro, is a freaking joke. I mean, seriously, I had it with them. That's why I don't watch a game. I only watch it when I'm doing them. But it's just getting a joke. And I'm not talking about only the gold glove. I'm talking in general, right? Like, the whole thing is getting a joke, bro.
Juan Soto hit .333 with a .438 on-base percentage and three jacks against the best pitching staff in the world, supposedly, right?
In my mind, there was no question.
Yeah.
This is what I go Soto.
Yeah.
I go Rendon and then Strasburg. I mean...
Okay.
Just Rendon had some turning point games, but Soto controlled the. It seemed like he was in some important at bats there, and he was a difference maker, and he changed the way those guys pitched. And
to be honest with you, though, Rendon wasn't even in my top three. How do you give it to Rendon? Like, if you were going to go past Soto or Strasburg for that matter, I mean, okay, they. But how do you not give it to Adam Eaton? Adam Eaton was really good. Yeah,
Adam Eaton was another one. Just probably Rendon's defense there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right, okay. He was the guy that made plays.
And Kendrick, man. I mean, Kendrick was the force for them every freaking series. You know what I mean?
And you remember it was in a – like, he obviously did some other things, too, before the World Series. No, Kendrick was good, too. But, I mean, as good as Kendrick was, I mean, he kind of fails in comparison if you look at it compared to these other guys. And that tells you how good they are. I mean, geez, right. Like, you're looking at these guys going, well, this guy or this guy. But once again,
those guys got to the plate. And we talked about this last time I was on the show. Those guys got up there, and you were scared for the Astros pitchers. There's no way you're getting Kendrick out.
But you weren't supposed to be like Garrett Cole, Verlander, Grinke. Like it was supposed to be over, right? Like the, you know. And now listen, everybody respected the big three from Washington too. But everybody, the word was, you're not going to beat Houston with those three pitchers. Well, not only did they beat them, this Juan Soto, who was only 20 up until I like to say that because that pisses everybody off. And let me tell you all out there when that pisses you off. You know why they bring it up? Because it's amazing. That's why.
Yeah.
The fact that the dude was 20 years old and doing what he's doing is amazing. Think about if you're not 20, how's that make you feel? Or if you're right at 20, which we got a 20-year-old intern sitting right here. Can you even imagine what this dude was doing?
No, that's actually.
No, it's crazy, man. I mean, I think it's amazing. We had a 19-year-old in our World Series team pitcher. Making a difference, dude. I mean, he was our guy. K-Rod, you know, Francisco Rodriguez. He was our guy, bro. I mean, the eighth inning in the World Series and you're 19 years old or 20? I mean, to be doing what he was doing at that age,
right,
and act the way he acted.
And just relate it to this.
Yeah,
look at your son, Jimbo, will turn 18.
Next year.
Yeah. Next year, within the calendar.
Sure.
Okay? Now, add 2 years to that.
Well, like I said, intern Yenny sitting here. And speak on the mic, intern Yenny.
Yeah, how we doing?
Okay, so what were you? So you're 20 now, right? Or are you 21?
I'm 21.
You're 21 now.
Yeah.
Okay? What were you doing? Having a couple cocktails, probably, right? Can you imagine what this dude was doing?
Even to get into the MLB is an amazing thing to do. I mean, I played 2 years in college, which was some of the best times of my life. But I got a best buddy who got drafted, Trey Riley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he's going through the minors right now. But to be 20 years old and to be playing in the World Series and to do what he did is insane.
Against the best in the world.
It's insane.
And the way he carried himself and the way he changed.
Well, people get pissed off at supposedly the way he carried. I don't understand why people give a shit if he does some funny antics when he takes balls and strikes. I don't understand why people give a shit about that.
Well, here it is.
Let me explain real quick. Let me explain. The only reason that people might get upset about him is when he grabs his cup. It's nothing wrong with what he does after he takes a strike or a ball or challenging the pitcher looking at him there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's saying there's something wrong with that. What is wrong is if somebody's grabbing his cup and looking at your face, because he's looking at the pitcher grabbing his cup. Like, don't tell me, Jimbo or Steve-O, don't tell me you will not be pissed if somebody grabs his cup and looking at you.
Yeah, I the whole grabbing the crotch thing with baseball players has been going. Like, I get like
no, Jimbo, no. Wait. Looking at you.
So I love this. So you really do think he's looking out there and grabbing his crotch, and he means something by it?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think Michaelas got him out at first and did the same to him? Why? Because he's doing it to the pitcher. He's facing the guy. He is facing. He's looking at your eyes and grabbing his cup.
I understand all that. I understand it, but my question is, and this is how I look at things. Like, I love to play devil's advocate. So my question is, he's taking a pitch. What's he saying by doing it? Like, you couldn't throw me a strike. What's he saying?
Okay, he's saying, fuck you, let's go, motherfucker.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the bottom line is his teammates love it because he's locked.
He had a bat later. Somebody talked to him about it, I guess, after the Cardinals, Michaelas. And by the way, I'm sorry for the bad words. I don't like to say those things. I just said it because that's what I think he's saying, right?
Okay.
But listen. All right, let me tell you this. After the Cardinals, Michael has grabbed his crotch, right, and did it to him, somebody probably talked to him and said, hey, listen, if you're going to do that, you better be accepting the pitcher is going to do it back to you. So, and then he stopped. I don't know if you guys noticed. He did the step back and forward, whatever he did before, but he never grabbed his cup again. Did you notice? After the Cardinals, when Michael has did that, he never grabbed his cup again, ever, in any of the at-bats.
I'd have to watch that again.
So in the World Series, he was just kind of dancing around. He wasn't grabbing his crotch again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somebody probably talked to him.
I never even paid any attention to it, to be honest with you. Like, it just,
I know they made a deal of it. Like, would he do it against, like, a guy like Wainwright?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? Like,
but the fact of the matter is, all he's doing.
The dancing is not a problem. The grabbing the cup is.
You know, I kind of liked it. I liked that he was locked in. I liked that you noticed if somebody threw him a good curveball or a great pitch that he would give him the nod. Like, yep, that was a good one. You got me there. But I loved it.
So you love it, Steve-O, because every pitch he's engaged. Like, he is locked in every pitch.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I love the way he plays, like Steve-O said and you said, Jimbo. I love the guy, man. I really do. I love. That's how he used to play, with that passion. On the plate, it's a challenge. It's a pitcher against a batter. And he's taking a challenge to the ultimate. And I love it. The only thing is that if you're going to grab the cup, look down to the dirt. But don't grab the cup looking at the pitcher.
It loses its effectiveness. Awesome. It's I don't know. I'll disagree.
Hey, remember, it's a man against man. There's no kid here. And guess what happened with Grinky? He threw at him twice. And why you think he threw at him twice? Because he thought maybe he was looking at me doing this. You know what I'm saying? It's a challenge.
Hey, Jimbo, I got the quote for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, kid.
What?
What do you say? Hey, kid, it's 2-0. What are you looking for? I'm either looking for a ball right here or one in my ear hole. He goes, well, I'd sit on the fastball in or half, but watch out for the ear hole.
Yeah, who said that?
Field of Dreams.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
He goes,
that's
hey,
right.
Why are you
Moonlight
throwing
Graham.
At him?
That's right. Yeah.
Moonlight Graham. Hey, why are you throwing at him? Ah, he winked at me. So that's it. I love it. I love the intensity. And guess what? You got to be ready for the repercussions. If you go into a slump, are you man enough to accept somebody kicking you when you're down? That's the whole thing. Are you prepared for that part of it? Can you withstand that when you're not having that success?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you this, when he's a 26 and 27-year-old man, he will not be doing that sort of thing. He will mature, but right now he's out there pissing on the fire hydrant.
The best pitchers in the world he's pissing on, too.
And he's saying, this is my batter's box. I'm marking my territory.
And I love it. I love it. Steve-O, I love it. I love that. I really did. And I told Yadi. Yadi loved it, too. The only thing we were talking about was, hey, don't look at the pitcher when you're grabbing your crotch. Because you're challenging the guy.
Yeah.
You're telling him, here, this is what I think of you. You know, like, come on.
Well,
me and you. But don't grab it and look at him. Grab it and just look at the dirt. That's fine, like he was doing. But I love the kid, man. I mean, I love the way he played. I love the challenge. I love when the hitters do that.
Well,
I love it.
It's over. It is. And it's time now. I mean, we've got ourselves a World Series champ. Being Chip taken care of. We're moving into the off season, and the Gold Gloves. You know, like I said,
I wanted to ask you about that.
Okay, well, hang on a minute. Let's move into the second part of our show here to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there; it's absolutely free. Check out our Two Birds bloggers. Don't forget to find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show. We'd love for you guys to follow us there on Twitter. Always pushing Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Make sure when you see the pinned post, guys, it means a lot to us when you share it, comment on it, and like it. It just helps it gain relevance and helps us bring more people into our conversations. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. And, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for mobile devices everywhere. Download it for free today. Couldn't do the show without our partners. Love to say thanks to Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. Get over there, try some of the left side of the menu, and then once you've had the left side, order the right side, because everything's good and you guys are going to love it. They got a great atmosphere. Mike and his crew do a tremendous job, so get in there and experience it. But if you can't, they deliver to certain zip codes, and they do the box lunch orders if you want to bring it into the office. Catering, if you have an event that needs catered, I would go no further than Adam's Smokehouse. I know we're partial, but we think it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To my friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, make sure you check out drkristenjacobs.com. She will remind you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. You only get one skin. Take care of it. Got to take care of it. And of course, she does so much for so many at Ula La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center. Check her out. Find out if there's something there that you've been looking at wanting to do for yourself that she can take care of. But as she reminds you, take care of your skin. To our friends at the Gators Baseball Academy, located in Missouri and now in Illinois, the official offseason started yesterday. I was there myself and saw it go down. Time to get better. You got somebody looking for work, whether it be in the cage, on the mound. Well, you shouldn't be thrown on the mound right now, but working towards it, working on your fielding, working on just general baseball. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com and their four-pillar system is where it's at. Okay, you got something for me, Steve.
Yeah, so, I want to go back. I know we need to move on with the show, but Benji brought up a lot of interesting points on the Yachty thing.
Right.
Well, which is a glaring thing to me, and I know it was to you when you looked at the list that came out with JT.
Call me crazy, but I don't get, like, this is just me. But also, I'm not involved in it, right? Like, I don't get caught up in these things too much. Like, I promise you, if you were to ask any one of them, would they rather have a Gold Glove or a World Series, they'll take the World Series. Now, getting your respect and your due, what bothers me is when people start picking and choosing what they think is important. Like, for instance, it's very obvious if you go read everything that they placed a lot of importance on the fact that he threw out 40, like, go read it, that he right. threw out 43 runners and the next closest to him didn't. Okay, well, did you play?
Well, that's the whole Deion Sanders thing.
It's the whole thing. Right. Like, what do you think? They didn't even, as many as he threw out, they didn't even run on the guy.
Right.
Use your brain.
So my question to this is, did it come into play a little bit of JT's offensive prowess? Okay, we know that in history, in years past, that the Gold Glove's been a little bit of popularity, and well, those guys that have won it well, before get no, usually that
let,
nod.
Let me tell you, and I'm going to tell you this because I'm going to say something here, okay? Benji takes some flack sometimes for listeners because he makes sure, because he defends his brother, right, when right. the time is right. But he's right on this one, and let me tell you why. And people are going to go, oh, no, did you look at the stats? What stats? What are you talking about? They're going to go, look at their percentage. And I'm going to tell you that if you don't look at that percentage and understand what it means, then you didn't either. Like, I love these people that tell me, I don't know what you're talking about. I played, like, the whole thing at first. I played and nobody ever told me that I had to run inside. Are you stupid then? Okay. Because we coached it that way. Okay. The little guys, we taught them how to do it. So don't tell me that. That's number one. Number two, if you don't look at the numbers on Yachty and the percentages of caught stealing, and can't look at it and tell me what's going on, that's another thing then you don't know what you're talking about. The bottom line is when you only get ran on 30 times in a whole season, of course your percentage isn't going to be great. Do you want to know why? They're only running 30 times in general because they don't want to run on you at all. And the only time they run on you is when they know for sure they've got it on the pitcher.
Right. And that's the whole Deion Sanders phenomenon. Okay. Deion Sanders out on an island. He's not going to get the interceptions because they're not throwing over there.
Because let me tell you something. He did throw out 43, but guess what? 49 stole successfully. That's not good.
Right. But my point was going to be this.
49 guys reached first base and made it to second base.
Did Yachty, is he suffering from the Barry Bonds treatment and maybe the Albert Pujols, that Yachty didn't have quite the year that he's had before, and it's opened the door for somebody else? That would be the thing that stuck out to me, is that I think that beyond the numbers, I don't think Yachty had as good a year as Yachty did, even though it was Gold Glove worthy.
And that's fine, but here's the problem at the end of the day. People are going to look at this and say, well, it's what it is, and it's like, this has nothing to do with Realmuto not being a good player. He's a good player. Has nothing
he's
to do with
stud,
it.
Man. He's
but
a stud.
He's a stud. But what I'm telling you is the fact that 49 guys reached first base and wound up on second base isn't good. It's not good.
But not only that. But for me, as a catcher, as a former catcher in the major league, right? Former, and for me, the ERA on my guys catching and the ERA on the bullpen and the shutout and the earned runs allowed and the errors and these little things are more important than the 47% he threw out, because just like you guys said, 49 got to second base. You know what I'm saying?
The whole game today is played from the second base in.
Yeah, how important it is to keep that guy to get into second or third on a tough ceiling. And Yachty only got 30 attempts. I mean, this is sick. 30 attempts. That tells you nobody runs on Yachty. So what is 49 stolen bases mean to you guys?
I told you what it meant to me.
Caught. Yeah, 43 caught, 49 stolen base. That means they run. They're not afraid. They run. They don't care who it is. They run. Bullpen ERA. In the league, 4.38. 16 out of what? 30 teams? 16. And then the team ERA, 453, like way below. They weren't even in the top 10. And here we are, ERA on the bullpen is sixth in the league, second in the National League.
And in the end,
I mean, come on, that's what really.
And that's my issue. So, Steve, you asked what Ben said. That's my issue. When we start picking and choosing what we're going to make important, when we start handing out awards. And that, see, I was talking to my wife the other day. She was
on your 50th birthday.
Well, yeah, whatever. But we were talking about something else that happened, and I said, "Honey, that's why I don't like any sport that has that. I don't like sports with judges." I don't, because it's bullshit. Don't tell me you're not. They're all biased. One way, people are naturally biased.
That's not a sport.
Okay, it's not a sport. That's number one. That's right. That's number one. Number two, same thing with awards. Somebody has an opinion, and because they get to make the decision, they're important. Well, guess what? If I was making the decision, I might do it different. Well, you're not qualified. Why am I not qualified? And some guy that's writing that has no understanding on between the lines whatsoever, he's qualified? Give me a break. I'm not even saying I am qualified. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying that. But what I want to know is, what does a guy that knows nothing about playing inside the lines, just because he follows it every day, what does he know any more than me or the guy listening to this show? That's my point. He doesn't.
What do you guys think about, for me, the Gold Glove, it's a hitting award. What do you guys think? Because when Buster Posey played half a year, no, it wasn't even 3-4 games, 5 games. It wasn't even 10 games. It was half the year. Half a season. Play at first because he was hurting. And then he played half a season at catcher or less. And he ends up winning the Gold Glove. How is he the best catcher? How? When you have guys catching 130, 135 games, not Yadi, I'm talking about in general, right? Like how the heck do they give these guys the best catcher, because it's a hitting award.
Well, I think it used to be for sure, but now I think, like, just my opinion, I think now it's fallen prey to we're going to pick and choose what quote unquote defensive numbers we want to make important.
See, and I think it's more of a offensive category now than it was in years past. I think it's more now. I think it's more of who are you going to draft in fantasy baseball first, Yadi or JT? Oh, well, he has to, if it's catcher. Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you kidding me? Ozzie Smith didn't have but one good offensive year.
No, I think back
Omar
then
Vizquel.
It was. Now I think it's purely defensive metrics. I don't see the – not now. I mean, I'm not talking about like it's been that way for a long time. I think it's just been that way for a few years. But I think when Buster Posey won a couple of awards, he was good offensively, and they cherry-picked a defensive stat and said he's our Gold Glover. Now, this the I last couple years, I think they are using these defensive – like, I don't know what that.
I think the managers and coaches do a lot of the voting on this.
Yeah, if they're using that analytic crap, they're wrong even worse. They're even worse wrong, because the only thing that Real Muto has, 47% thrown out stealing and 43 caught stealing. That's the only number that I would give him over Yadi right now.
Here, I can go.
The only one.
Yeah.
The only one
that
he has.
Let's go through
it. Yadi has one error, guys.
Okay, so let's go through it. Matt Olson won the Gold Glove at first base, and he's not the best offensive first baseman. Not even close.
No, but I like
Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, but it's not a writer vote. It's a coaches and managers.
Okay, so I'm telling you.
So like, and those guys aren't looking probably at
your
the metrics.
Your argument is offensive.
Yeah,
you're saying the best offensive guys won the awards. Matt Olson wasn't the best offensive first baseman.
But my argument is that offense comes into play when you're not going to go deep into the stats these guys.
I would agree with that.
All of a sudden you're going, if you're a manager, if you're Clint Hurdle, who do you want to start your team with? If you have to pick a catcher, JT or Yadi?
I'm going to prove your, like, I understand what you mean, and I have seen it happen in the past, but I'm going to prove your theory wrong right here.
It's not to win a Gold Glove, right, people?
Right.
But I'm going to prove your theory wrong right here. The American League Gold Glove winner at second base is Yolmer Sanchez. You know who the runner-ups are? Jose Altuve and DJ LeMahieu. So your theory's blown out the window right there. Seriously.
When there is not a clear-cut person that is above and beyond defensively.
You're telling me Yolmer Sanchez is clear-cut better defensively than Jose Altuve? Clear cut.
I don't know.
No, he's not.
You tell me.
I mean, no, he's not. What he had was, supposedly, an unbelievable zone rating.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly.
Unbelievably.
Unbelievable zone rating. Unbelievable.
Not close to.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so above and beyond. So that just proved my theory. When you have a guy that's above and beyond.
Nick Ahmed over. Okay, here you go. Nick Ahmed over Trevor Story.
Okay. Okay.
Matt Chapman over Alex Bregman. Okay. No, I mean.
Hey, Matt Chapman is a stud.
He is a stud, but he's not as good as Bregman.
Well, your Bregman's the best player in baseball.
And he lost. And he lost the Gold Glove to Chapman. That's my point.
It's not the sole thing. I'm just saying, in lieu of, if it's close, your deciding factor is probably offensive prowess. You're not looking at, you know,
dude, David Peralta won the Gold Glove over Juan Soto. Kevin Kiermaier won it over Mike Trout.
Okay.
There you go.
Kevin Kiermaier's pretty damn good defensively.
But Mike Trout's the best player on the planet.
Because of offensive categories.
He's a stud defensively.
Well, yeah, but offensively,
see,
he makes him the best one.
According to your theory, okay, Trout and Kiermaier. Come on, Trout's a stud defensively. And he's a light years better than him offensively. According to your theory, Trout should have won the Gold Glove there.
No.
Oh,
you got the theory wrong.
Oh, no.
Theory wrong. Look at the stats. No. Why did they vote for Kiermaier?
Well,
give me a zone rating or whatever stat you want to pull out there, Mr. Sabermetric. You're looking at the computer box.
17 outs above average.
Okay.
17 outs.
What was Trout?
He led all players in outfield jump at a plus +3.8.
Okay.
See, that's another one that I love, too.
So he was above and beyond, clearly better defensively.
That's the other one,
I could look at a stat and go, oh, there he is. And I know Kiermaier.
I love the catch rating on balls, too, by guys sitting in the stands that have no idea how it came off the bat. Was it knuckling? Was it like that? Just kills me, too, by the way. Kills me.
I missed a knuckleball once.
It'll kill you if it hits you in the face.
No, this one jumped over me.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we can argue about this stuff all day long. Let's talk a little Cardinal baseball. It's time now to go to the Patterson Tire and Service text line. Steve-O, how are you feeling about us having our own text line?
I like it.
I mean,
here's the deal, though,
official.
Man. Where are the – I mean
– where are the what?
I need Dr. Kristen Jacobs to give me a little Botox.
You
I need
do
to look
need
younger.
Some work.
You got some work, 50 years old, bro.
I don't need any work. I'm 50 and I look good. No, I need a lot of work. Let me tell you something. But no, we're big time now. We have our own text line. Thanks to our friends at Patterson Tire and Service. Give them a call for a quote, 618-797-6711. Located at 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois. 62040, Steve-O, my hometown, baby. Granite City, great family. Just embedded in the community there. They've done so much for the community. Lots of families around there. They're who that area trusts. You need to trust them with your work as well. They're a whole lot more than a tire store. They do automotive repair as well as what you would expect. Brakes, tires are the best in the business, folks. And again, when you get in there and you meet Brian or Kevin, you're going to see one of them in there all the time at the front desk greeting people, making sure they take care of you the way that you should be taken care of. And their father, just a great man, Lonzo, started the whole thing. And if you know Lonzo at all, you kind of understand where it comes from in the family. And that's Patterson Tire and Service. One more time, 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois, 62040. So, Benji, when you're in town and you got to take care of your ride, we're taking care of. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's awesome.
We have a question on that line that I want to hit you guys with. So,
I love it.
All we're seeing right now, big names everywhere, right? Like, oh, the Cardinals need to sign Gerrit Cole. They need to sign Anthony Rendon. They need to sign. Blah, blah, blah. It's not happening, right? Like, can we all agree it's not going to happen, Steve-O?
I've said it. This is the fourth year. You will not get a big free agent. You will not land the big fish out in free agency.
Okay.
It will not happen. Okay. Take it to the bank, guaranteed.
Even a medium fish, I don't think so, right? I mean, medium.
Low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
That's what we'll go with.
Benji, are we all in agreement? We're not going to sign, unfortunately, a Rendon or a Gerrit Cole. Are we all in agreement of this?
Yep. No, I'm
okay.
I don't think they will.
Okay. So this.
Let it be a surprise.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be a nice surprise. It'd be like Christmas morning. Yenny, you're a 21-year-old kid. You don't know any other Cardinal baseball than them winning and doing well, right? Like, you don't know. Like, you don't even remember when they weren't good, right?
No, I do
not. To you, it's all fun and games, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you? Yeah. Is there any way they sign anybody that costs a bunch of money this year?
No, I can't see it happening this year, just getting, like, Goldschmidt and Miller in the past couple of years, so
okay.
I can't see it happening.
Okay. Again. All right. So the young community's on board too, right, Benji?
Yep. And the way they gave Carpenter those money, that also is going to play against us a little bit. We still got to pay Fowler, big bucks. Can they do it? Can they sign somebody? I think they can.
Oh, they could. Sure they could.
Yeah, they could because they have the money, but I don't think they will. I'm with Steve-O and with you guys. I don't think they will. I really think they believe in what they have, and they're going to go for it, you know?
All right, so this listener takes a different tack. Now, see, I like realistic, right? So whether I agree with it or not is not important, but this listener says, I love what you guys are doing. Thank you. The Cardinals should pursue a small couple-year contract with Corey Dickerson or Nick Castellanos. Now we're talking a little more realistic option. So, Steve, let's start with you. Any thoughts on Corey Dickerson or Nick Castellanos? Both fine players. I mean, any one of them not going to win any MVPs anytime soon, but they're both good players.
You won't get Castellanos. I think that name is too big. Dickerson's borderline, and I'd have to look at the stats to see who's better, but I don't think Castellanos, you have a snowball's chance in hell of getting him.
I'm not a big, like, I can tell you this, I don't think Corey Dickerson would be great at our stadium. I think he's had some success at some stadiums where, you know, he gets a little more power. Castellanos, I've never been like a big fan. I think he was a little underrated to me. I was really impressed with what he did
underrated.
With the Cubs.
Yeah.
Benji, your thoughts?
I think it's just on the lines of Steve-O or you, Jimbo, where you said that the stadium is favorable. I don't play in a big stadium in Detroit, and he freaking crushed in Detroit. So why not have him? Those are the type of players that you can have at home in St. Louis because they're used to playing in big stadiums. But when you bring a guy that like Marcell Ozuna, he's used to playing in a huge Miami stadium. So guess what? He's going to be okay here. But when you bring Goldschmidt from the D-backs where the ball carries so well, he found out that Goldschmidt could have easily end up with freaking 40 home runs, 50, 45, 50 home runs the way he hit the ball the other way into the warning track. He had so many fly balls to the warning track and all that. But in the D-back stadium in home runs. But anyway, Castellanos will be an upgrade for us. I mean, look at our outfielder. Ozuna's gone. Fowler is there, who I think is going to be our center fielder, by the way. and the right field is open unless they put Martinez, which he cannot catch. Like, he's not a good defender like Kendrick, okay? But Kendrick has a ring, and he can crush. But for the Cardinals, somehow, he cannot play because he cannot catch the ball or whatever reason they have. But anyways, so you have two openings in the outfielder. Castellano will be an upgrade, don't you guys think? I mean, Castellano, he's a hitter, man. He's an RBI guy.
I'm impressed. He does a good job. Like, so, Steve, you might be right here. Yenny, any of those two guys do anything for you? Or are you like a all-in or – like, you want a big name. You're a young guy. You want a big, flashy name, right?
Yeah, I'd like a big name.
Listen, here's what I know about Yenny.
Oh, boy. No, we know. Listen, hang on.
He waited in line for 2 hours in a drive-thru.
We know a lot of things about Yenny that we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay.
But he's the kid that's going to go wait in Popeye's drive-thru line for 2.5 hours. For the sandwich.
Well, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't he?
That's what these...
Just throwing that in there.
What's that?
I don't like Popeyes.
Are you a Chick-fil-A guy?
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A.
See, he's not deviating. He wants what he wants. That's
Let
the
me tell
young
you what.
Generation, babe.
Hey, get up to the mic. I need you to talk into the microphone, okay?
Yeah, you got
to. Now I'm going to get a little graphic. It's not a wiener, so you can get a little close to it. You got to get way up there.
All right.
The best chicken sandwich ever is a little place down in Texas called Super Chicks. It will franchise soon. Mark my words, it blows away Chick-fil-A.
But Benji, have you had this chicken sandwich from Popeyes?
Not yet, but now that you mention it, I might have to stop by and try it out.
Well, isn't the rumor you can't get one, or can you get them now?
They're supposed to be out today.
Oh, they're coming out again today.
Yeah.
That's the deal. You better head to Popeyes after this. Yenny's not going, so there's one left for somebody somewhere. He's not interested. Neither am I. I'm with you, Yenny. Yeah.
But I will. Hey, Steve-O, when you made a trip to Dallas, did you get a glimpse of my statue at least, man?
Yeah, did you go by and see Benji's statue?
Actually, man.
So he was right there.
I was right there.
Messed up.
So I met our friends down there.
That's how you know who your friend is. You know?
Noel and Ron. I met them. And Noel wants us to come down there for opening day of the new stadium next April, which is around my birthday.
And it's a Cardinals, too.
Yes, it is the Cardinals. So it'll be, I think it's what the I don't know if it's the actual opening. Isn't that the last spring training game?
No, I think one of them. You know how they play like two or three games against teams and stuff before
right.
the season? Yeah, I think that's one of those games. I think they start there like for two or three games before before a season starts. Hey, I'm hurt, buddy.
I would be hurt too.
I got to be honest with you.
Messed up, bro.
Jimbo, I know you've never been there. The stadium from the Dallas Cowboys Stadium from AT&T
you know why
is right across the street, and it is a 3-mile walk.
I believe that.
Everything's bigger
but
in Texas.
But here's what's going to happen tonight when Dallas loses. That's what happens when Dallas loses all of a sudden. Everybody's talking a big game, and then when they lose, this is what you get. I you know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand it.
If they lose to the Giants, we might not see Steve-O for like a month.
Yeah, you won't see me. Nobody will see me. I'll be in hiding.
Well, okay, so I want to get back to this. So I like where this listener went. I'm Nick Castellanos is growing on me because I'm impressed. Like
I actually like him a lot.
It's not just that. Here's something I didn't realize. Let's guess. Well, I'm giving it away. How old is he?
29.
Benji, how old is he?
Oh, I know.
Maybe 27.
He's 27.
Yeah.
Okay, I gave it away. I shouldn't have said anything.
And I'm not. I don't have a computer box in front of me.
I would have bet he was 30. Which, by the way, we can't play anymore after we're 30. Even though Howie Kendrick's 36 or whatever.
Yeah, seriously. Even if he's 36, 35, what does it matter if you're gonna get a guy for 2 years or 3 years that is gonna rake for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it matter that he's 38 if he's gonna have a 300 average, 20 plus home runs, 80 plus RBI on your team? What the heck does it matter the age? What you're looking for here is not the age. What you're looking for is for a freaking guy that drives in freaking runs, man. That gets you on top 2-1 when it's needed. That gets you on top 3-0 and get a little bit more cushion on the pitcher. You know what I'm saying? That's what you need. That's
yeah. That's true.
Like tenders.
And he's a gap-to-gap guy.
Yeah.
And he's not. He doesn't swing for the home run. And I would love to have him. I'd love to have the one outfielder. I'd love to have a third baseman with some range.
Seriously. And let Tommy Edman play.
Let him
play all year in one position.
So
let him play, man.
So here's my thing. So I'll answer the texter because let me tell you something. If the Cardinals signed Castellanos, I'd be completely fine with it because I agree with Ben, and let's face it, he got into the National League and his numbers went up. He obviously caught a good place at Wrigley. We know it can go either way there, but they do have good days. So I'm on it. Like I'm good with it. That being said, for me, and again, I'm not like I think the listener brings up a great option here. I'm way more in Castellanos than I am Corey Dickerson.
Did Dickerson play center field, though, mainly?
We can find out.
All of them.
Yeah, I know he plays all of them, but I thought maybe he was slated as more of a center fielder. Nick's over in right field, wasn't he?
What the hell would be wrong with that if Corey Dickerson could play center field? If you can play center, you can play anywhere.
Right.
Anybody that hit 300 in the major league, 300, and let's put it this way. Anybody that hits 250 right now for the Cardinals will be a little bit of
he's not a center fielder.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, he's a left fielder,
is
which
he
means
left?
He's not a great. I mean,
yeah, but he's okay.
He'd be fine. Hey, I'm not complaining. Like he's not like. Let me tell you, that guy's had a nice career, Corey Dickerson. He's a guy that gets. You know who he's like a little bit? He's a little bit like Moustakas. Every year he's an afterthought, and he winds up going somewhere, and he puts up numbers, and you go, why does nobody want this guy?
Why people are hating on Moustakas, huh?
I like him, too.
I don't know why. I like him so much. He's a good player, dude. He's a good player. He should have a good contract. He should have had everything, man, because for me, he's a good, good player, man. I really do like him.
Well, those are two options. Again, I'm going to say it. I can't say it enough. I mean, this is I'm not like saying the texture didn't have a great idea. I don't know, but for me, I just see them taking this year, and whoever starts in these three outfield spots and whoever starts at third base is going to be somebody that's already on this team. So that's my opinion. And you know what?
Or one other guy.
If we're going to do it, then let's do it. Let's figure it out. Yenny, you're a young guy. You like competition, though. You're just coming out of playing college ball. Would you be okay with open competition if it was truly open?
You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Benji.
No, go ahead. I was going to say about something about that college guy. You have proven guys. You want proven guys. You saw what happened in the playoff. Anybody can win the Central. Not anybody. I shouldn't say it that way. It sounds bad. I'm saying the Central is wide open, right? Like we all saw for the last few years. That's what I mean.
Right. No, yeah.
Anybody can come up on top in the Central. But once you get in, you need guys like that. You need guys. You don't need potential, bro. You need guys that produce. And you can have guys that you don't know what they're going to get. You can't have that. I'm telling you guys. You don't know what Bader could give you. Now you do. Now you do.
No, and I agree with you. I think my issue is, and this is where I was going with it, and this is why I was curious what a young guy would think. I agree with you 100%. My thing is this. But if they're going to do what they're going to do, you're either with it or you're against it. So the truth of the matter is, this is what I think they're going to do. But here's my problem. It's almost like picking the Gold Glove winner. Like, we're going to pick and choose which defensive stat we're going to go with today. It's the same thing on this for me, and that is this. If you're going to have an open competition, then have an open competition. Don't tell me that Dexter Fowler is starting just because he's Dexter Fowler. Bullshit. Not good enough. Matt Carpenter, not good enough. Open competition, and that's where I was going with it. So
and that's fine, but if you have an open competition with somebody that's going to do it, remember that word, man. And I've been preaching it for so many years with you guys here in the show, and potential doesn't work. It's doing it. That Juan Soto had a potential of hitting 35 home runs. Guess what, guys? He hit 34. That Juan Soto had potential of hitting 300. Well, he hit 295 or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you have potential, well, at least have the guy who has potential and do it. Not the guy who has potential and then all of a sudden you're flipping a coin in the outfield like, okay, well, this guy is hitting 150 in 3 months. What the heck is he doing over here in the big league? What are we playing him regular in center field or right field or left field or shortstop? If he's hitting 150. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm asking, man. It's hard to watch, and it was really hard to watch for a long time for the Cardinals. Remember, this year was great. We won the Central, but it was hard at times to watch the team because we were having too many guys struggling at the same time.
Well, see, so, and for me, to be completely – here's where I'm at on this whole thing, and we'll wrap up because it's a great text, I think, because it's a great conversation, and that's this. Okay, especially Corey Dickerson's a no for me, and he really fits more into my argument here. Castellanos, I'm fine with Castellanos. My issue is this: I want to take you back 2 or 3 years ago in the studio when everybody wanted Dexter Fowler, and I said what, Steve-O? No, it's a reach. Did I not say that feels like a reach?
I'd have to replay the tape, but I'll go with you.
Okay, I said it was a reach. And then I let people talk me into it because you know why? Because I'm normal. I wanted something, right? I wanted anybody. But the problem is this. What did we wind up saying about Dexter Fowler, his contract, and then something that happened? We had Dexter Fowler, a better version of Dexter Fowler, a guy that could do at least the job Dexter Fowler could do, and we didn't give him the opportunity, and that was Tommy Pham. We had him. And we went out and signed money on a guy that blocked everybody and their brother. So my problem with this is, and it's less of a problem in today's baseball because, unfortunately, guys like Castellanos and Corey Dickerson aren't getting 5-year overpaid contracts. Castellanos is probably going to get a 3-year deal, would be my guess. unless somebody reaches and gives him a fourth year. Corey Dickerson's probably going to sign a one-year contract somewhere. So it's a little bit different there. But back in that day and age, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not sure, and I'm just being honest here, I'm not sure that either one of these guys makes me want to bury some of these other guys. Now, if you start talking about Anthony Rendon or Garrett Cole or somebody like that, then, hey, bury alive. But this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. But I also understand, and I know what Benji's saying too, having, like, if you're going to have an open competition and you're already going to play a couple of young guys, having a Nick Castellanos in your lineup every day, having a guy that's proven that he can produce, having a guy that can play, boy, that makes you a whole lot more warm and fuzzy. Is that kind of where you're going with that, Benji?
Yeah, of course. If the guy is going to produce, man, and that's what we're looking for, right? Because we don't score many runs. I mean, at least we haven't. So we got to find guys that produce. I'm going to give you a couple names and see what you think. Anthony Rendon, of course, we all know that. Marcel, we're going to let go because he produces so much for the team that we're going to let him go. We need guys that don't produce so much. All right. We got that one out of the way. Nick Castellanos. We got Nick. We got Josh Donaldson, J.D. Martinez, who could become a free agent right now. And I don't see why not signing. Oh, wait. He's not a good defender in the outfield. Oh, dude. Cardinals are out. Never mind on that guy. Hyun-Jin Ryu, the pitcher for the Dodgers. Good signing if we were looking to leave Carlos Martinez as a closer or in the bullpen. Dallas Keuchel. Alderosi. I mean, these guys are really good fit. Moustaka. All those guys are really good fit for us. But the real question is, are we going for them? You know, that's the real question, right?
Well, we'll see what, like I said, we're gonna have to figure it out because, listen, somebody's going to play, and whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. But I thought it was a great question because it wasn't the typical, hey, I think they should sign Anthony Rendon. What do you think? And listen, I'm not bagging on fans for that. I get that. Like, listen, if anybody listens to the show for the last 4 years, I've given you the reason every offseason up until now why I thought there was an opportunity for the Cardinals to go out and get somebody and why it made sense. This year is the complete opposite. I don't see it making sense for them because based on their past history and based on how they do things, I think it's a waste of time. That being said, we can talk about it all day long. But I think a Castellanos would be realistic, especially given their situation. Because in the end, it's in for me, and this is just me, and this is something we'll get into more on as we go on with the shows. The outfield thing is interesting, or third base. I want to remind people that this, and we can think about this, and this will give you a little something to think about for the next show. For me, it's not so much the playing in the outfield. For me, it's not so much about all that. It's for me, who in the hell is going to bat fourth next year on this team? And let me tell you, and I want to remind people of something.
Well, we had him.
Well, we did. Typically in typically in Major League Baseball, go out and look around. Good teams get a ton of production out of two positions, right field and third base. And I want you to go back now, except for when Tommy Edman came in and did a fine job. I want you to go back and look at the production we got out of those positions. It's not good.
No, but for our team, somehow, that's what they're looking for, right?
Well, let's hope that's not. But great question. I want to thank our texter. And, boy, I really wish people would attach their names to these. Some people just don't want to. I guess they're worried we're going to either rip them or they're going to say something that other people aren't going to agree with them. But whoever sent this text, great job. Absolutely loved it. More importantly, we love that people are using the text line. Got to remind you all, our Patterson Tire and Service text line, we're getting tons of texts. Can't read them all. We highlight one each day. On each of the shows that we do, whether it's Two Birds on a Bat, whether it's Ruffled Feathers, whether it's Bow Ties and Bullshit, we try to highlight the best one each day. But if you said your name, like we have done with some other ones, we're happy to give you the credit. But we do want to thank our friends at Patterson Tire and Service for bringing you the text line, 618-797-6711. Call them and get a quote over the phone if that's possible. Obviously they would need to see your car if it was repair work. But if you need brakes and things, tires, they can check that out for you and give you a quote right over the phone. Located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, 62040. And remember, they are a whole lot more than a tire store, as they do more than brakes and tires. They do automotive repair as well. Great family. Great to have them a part of our show, and we do want to thank them. So great show today, fellas. And by the way, we've seen some amazing things in the world. Yenny's over here laughing the whole time because we're doing a Cardinal show and on my computer. I can't not watch this Tyreek Hill catch this running back.
From a dead stop.
Have you seen this, Benji?
8 yards deep.
Have you seen him catch him?
What's that?
Have you seen this play in Kansas City where the running back breaks loose and Tyreek Hill's blocking on the outside and from a dead stop starts sprinting and catches him before he gets to the end zone to run with him side by side? It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Well, you haven't seen me run yet.
Hey, you know what? We can just add Tyreek Hill to the list of guys that do not have
a triple or a cycle
in the big leagues, but Benji Molina does have one. So
I like the fact that
Willie Mays doesn't have one.
I like the fact that Benji hit a home run and was like, "Nah, go ahead and take me out. I don't want to run all the bases."
how about that power trip right there, bro? I told him, I said, like, hey, you know what? I shut it down for tonight. Somebody run from second base for me. Thank you.
Benji basically played slow pitch softball. Hit one.
And then didn't
know he had it all. You know, so he rounded first base, you know, looking for two. It goes out. He hits second base. He's like, yeah, I'm going
time
back
out.
To the dugout.
He called
somebody
time
else,
out.
Yeah,
he
somebody
called
else run
out.
For me.
He called timeout.
I'll hit one in the gap, and I'll tell the catcher to run for me.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Benji's like me, 90 feet at a time. That's it.
Well, listen, in the end, big congratulations to Colton Wong. Overdue, for sure. Yeah. Overdue, for sure. Let's hope, and I believe this, certain things happen to people that propel them to another level. I'm hoping that this year, everything – you know, everything that went on with him, hoping to get propels him.
Yeah. We had a bunch of guys nominated, right?
Yeah. And good, great for all of them. And we see that too. A lot of times, guy gets nominated, pays his, you know, hey, again, here we go with the old theory.
That's still a win.
Yeah, it's still a win. Heck yeah, man. That's awesome. That means, things are going in the right direction with some of that for sure. Let's see how the offseason goes. Let's supplement.
He's working on his defense right now. Hopefully that's what he did, is said, I can get better. And he's out there right now on the island fielding some ground balls.
Does he have a chance at the Platinum Glove? The numbers would say that he does.
Yep. Yeah, he has a chance. And, not only that, but all the guys that were nominated, I think they were the most in any team.
Sure.
They were the most. And to have that, at least, I mean, that's awesome, you know?
Yep.
We have a lot of Cardinal haters out there, you know? And for them to see that, they're going to hate on us more. And Colby Young, by the way, should have won the Gold Glove. I'm saying it. He should have won it by numbers. By numbers. Of course, right. We have more flashy guys out there. I probably made a few more flashy plays, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think by numbers, if you look at it, Colby Young should have won easy a Gold Glove, man.
Well, listen, at least the streets are gold today for Colton Wong, and things can keep improving for us. But we want to thank everyone for sure. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the show. We always ask that you guys do that. It's free. Make sure you check out our Two Birds bloggers. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Make sure you follow us. Find us on Facebook as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Like our page. Find that pinned post, folks. That's our show. Like it, comment on it, and share it. That helps us reach more people. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and is part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it today. Can't thank everyone that makes the show possible enough. Obviously, we come to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Our good friend Randy Green, innovativecompanies.com, a Gold Glover in his own right. Construction, heating, cooling, and electric, he's ready to roll. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's 35 years experienced, second generation craftsman, more importantly, man of his word. Great human being, folks. Give him an opportunity for your business. Our text line, we're loving it. We're the engagement that we're getting from fans is awesome. Hey, show some love to our friends at Patterson Tire and Service. If you need work done, give them at least an opportunity. That's all they ask. All they want you to do is give them an opportunity. They will win your business. 618-797-6711. Call them for a quote. Located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Whole lot more than a tire store. Our good friends at Patterson Tire and Service. DrKristenJacobs.com reminds you every day Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Check out her Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center. DrKristenJacobs.com. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, you can't go wrong with our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Give them an opportunity for some great barbecue. The whole experience, you won't be sorry. Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road, St. Louis.
Here's your cue. To our good friends at Gators Baseball Academy in Missouri and in Illinois as well, if you're looking to get better, their four-pillar system is second to none. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. For all of us here at Two Birds and a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Cowboys!
Go Birds! Oh, man.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.